If you've ever written a piece of academic literature, say a master's thesis, you would know that it is a pain in the butt, especially if halfway through you realize your research questions have nothing to do with the hypothesis, methodology, and or scope of your quote-unquote study. So what do you do? Well, with a few weeks to go and another 50 pages looming right up ahead to fulfill the minimum requirements, you start hustling. Most of the masking techniques are geared towards confusing the reader by obfuscating the contents, engaging in sesquipedalianism, and filling the paper with as many charts as possible. That is precisely the feeling I get after quickly perusing the U.S. intelligence community report regarding Russian influence on U.S. elections in 2016. I'm Nick Blake, and today we take on useless information.
There's so much kind of information about the world nowadays, and it's hard to know what you need and what you don't need. 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, this relentless stream of shit is headed for your fucking head, right? And every time a piece of useless information goes in, it pushes older, wiser information further down into the muck, makes it harder to understand in dreams. Now, there's no escaping this. It's relentless. Sandra Bullock's husband is thinking of moving to Texas in order to be closer to their children. How the f*** do I know that? He hasn't even decided yet. He's only thinking about it. I didn't go looking for that information, but it went into my head, spent the whole day relaxing between my two ears. I meet somebody for a drink later on that night. The only f***ing thing I can think of saying to him, I see Sandra Bullock's husband is thinking of moving to Texas.
That was Tommy Tiernan explaining how things that have nothing to do with our daily lives are crammed into our crania when we don't even suspect it. That is exactly what the CNN, New York Times, USA Today, and others are doing with the trending report by NIC, CIA, NSA, the Justice Department, etc. It is ludicrous to assume that this piece is any evidence of anything except for the author's immaculate level of verbosity. Now, out of 25 pages, 10 is cover pages, graphs, and those left intentionally blank because, you know, they might serve as a giveaway to terrorists. The remaining 15 pages clearly assume the reader is an idiot. Page 6 says, quote, "We do not make an assessment of the impact that Russian activities had on the outcome of 2016 election." Oh, well, then what's the hype? Turn the page to number 7, and what do you see in the title? Assessing Russian Activities and Intentions in Recent U.S. Elections. To quote a great American, George Carlin, I call bullshit. If you assess activity and intent, logically, you had already presumed there was impact. Otherwise, why would you go through all that trouble of writing up such crap? This just goes on to show that the writers of the report were biased, especially if you read what it says. Quote, "Vladimir Putin ordered an influence campaign to denigrate Secretary Clinton and harm her electability and potential presidency by impugning the fairness of the election." Well, first of all, WikiLeaks emails show that Bernie Sanders being sidelined by the DNC was not an accident. Therefore, dear CIA, the fairness of the election has already been impugned. And secondly, how is this not common sense yet? Secretary Clinton is a criminal, ladies and gentlemen. Not only was she one of the key people to shape the genocidal U.S. foreign policies, but even the FBI has an investigation going. Or, okay, I'm sorry, had. But even Donald Trump, who is buddy-buddy with her, said that she should be in jail. And if your friends, or okay, even former friends, say you need to go to jail, I got news for you folks, Putin ain't gonna do better than that to hurt your electability and potential presidency, okay? I could go on and on, really, but lucky for you, we linked up with political commentator and host of daily radio newscast CPR News, Don DeBar, to get another perspective on the story.
The interesting thing about this report is that it is only conclusions and not evidence or even a statement of a case. The very beginning of the report itself says that, sorry, we can't show you any of the evidence. And then the case that they make, the conclusions that they arrive at are essentially that RT and Sputnik provided platforms for voices other than that coming out of the mainstream media, and that they tended to view the mainstream media's treatment of Trump as biased, which was self-evident. Anybody hearing this basically had what they saw reified, and that they had published materials that were that tended to create unfavorable feelings towards Clinton, such as the WikiLeaks releases, which the things themselves should produce that kind of an effect. And what we're talking about RT and Sputnik being accused of really is doing journalism, muckraking, taking material that's out there that bears on the public discussion and bringing it to the public for the public to make up their own minds. And that apparently is intolerable.
You're listening to Don DeBar, letting us know how much of a charade this report was. What surprises me is the fact that so many news outlets jumped in on the matter without providing any original standpoints, by, for example, pointing out that the word assess was used nearly 30 times in 15 pages of text. So, okay, let me get this straight. You expect a country where only, according to Pew Research, 19% of the population trusts the government to take the CIA's and NSA's word for it at face value? Really? This is at a time when trust in mass media is at an all-time low? Really? The establishment has a lot of balls because the odds are so not in that favor. And if you talk to the people on the street, it's even worse. Here's the genius of Steve Hughes and his experience with the media.
I know it's sensitive. It's a sensitive time. Can't talk about anything. I got called anti-Semitic because I did a very political show in Edinburgh in 2006. And this guy wrote a very negative article about me in a tiny English newspaper called The Times. And, no one reads that. And, The Times. I've never heard of it. Yeah, he was freaked out at my show and wrote it out that I was freaking out and I was a f***ing anti-Semite. And, because it was 2006 and Israel was bombing Lebanon at the time because they stole a soldier. So they thought they should murder 1,000 civilians and destroy the infrastructure and bomb the petrol plant, creating an ecological disaster. But he thought, f*** that. I agree with that, but I've got to warn the people of Great Britain about the extremity of this f***ing comedy show. What's the deal? He make out, he called me an angry left-leaning Australian conspiracy theorist who wears his Jew hatred on his sleeve like a badge. F*** mate, that's a bit intense. What? You hate all the Jewish people in the world. I'm like, what? I've got the Seinfeld box set, the f***ing sake. Hate all the f***ing Jewish people in the world. Why do we have to hate people when we talk about a power structure in the age of the scientific dictatorship, which dismisses magic and spirituality and barbaric mumbo-jumbo and uses rationality, reason and logic as their prime psychological idioms to promote all of us, and yet I discuss the negativity of a power structure in the global commons, and suddenly I can't have an opinion in the global commons about what's going on and about a power structure, which means suddenly I hate all the people under the power structure. See, this is f***ing stupid. Unbelievable, freaking me out like that. Because he lies, they lie, the press will lie. They just f***ing lie, they have political and corporate agendas which they must adhere to, and they will f***ing lie if they need to lie. Because I did a joke in the show about how Americans were brilliant at marketing violence to us all, because as a child, even in Australia, I grew up playing cowboys and Indians, right? Which as a child, I just didn't think anything of. But as an adult, I realised that they managed to market the genocide of an indigenous people as a game for f***ing kids, right?
That was Steve Hughes, in essence, describing what Voltaire said many years ago. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you're not allowed to criticize. In today's world of corporations, gangbanging regular folk on the street in broad daylight, it seems strange to assume pure information is just going to be handed to you on a silver platter. Well, in the case of this next gentleman, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Bill Hicks.
You never see positive drug stories on the news, do you? Isn't that weird? Since most of the experiences I've had on drugs were real positive. Who are these morons they're finding? That's what I want to know. I used to want to call the news. Come over to our house. Watch Tommy. He's a pig. Film him. He's been doing that for hours. He's killing us. You getting all that? You know what I mean? Always that same LSD story, you've all seen it. Young man on acid, thought he could fly, jumped out of a building. What a tragedy. What a dick. How him. He's an idiot. If he thought he could fly, why didn't he take off on the ground first? Check it out. You don't see ducks lined up to catch elevators to fly south. They fly from the ground, you moron. Quit ruining for everybody. He's a moron. He's dead. Good. We lost a moron. F***ing celebrate. Wow, I just felt the world get lighter. We lost a moron. Put on the Hammer album. I'm ready to dance. We lost a moron. I don't mean to sound cold or cruel or vicious, but I am, so that's the way it comes out. How about a positive LSD story? Wouldn't that be newsworthy just once, to base your decision on information rather than scare tactics and superstitions and lies? I think it would be newsworthy. Today, a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we're the imagination of ourselves. Here's Tom with the weather.
That was Bill Hicks elaborating on how the media distorts your perception by using an array of psychological tactics that many are highly susceptible to unless you have lifted the veil. Just like using big words in academia, the majority of it is aimed to deceive. Stay vigilant, ladies and gentlemen. Stay vigilant. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.